السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. If we have to look at the situation around the world, everybody has got his own solution to the problems of mankind. If you ask 100 people what is the solution, they will give you 100 different solutions. If there are 20 people sitting around a conference table, then even something which is straightforward, something that is straightforward, doesn't require much debate, discussion, or much opinions or views. But when these 20 people are sitting around a table and there is a discussion with regards to some issue, then there will be 20 different opinions. Everybody has got his own opinion. But at that moment in time, when 20 people are giving their different opinions around the conference table, if the Minister of Finance has to walk in, or King Fahad, or the King of Jordan, or some king who is owning oil wells, he has to walk in. And he says that I am going to throw up a number of coins. One coin is wrapped in green shining paper. Whoever grabs that coin, which is wrapped in the green shining paper, will get $1,000,000. Now he's got 10, 15 coins and he's going to throw it into the air and allow it to fall on the ground. And the one that is wrapped in the green shining paper, whoever grabs that will get $1,000,000. Now at that moment, everyone will forget his difference of opinion. There will be only one opinion, and that will be that we must grab that green coin. Everybody will go for that. Everybody's eyes will now be focused on that coin which is wrapped in the green paper, because the person is going to get $1,000,000. So everyone that was sitting there, irrespective of what his opinion was with regards to the situation around the world and the solution, but here he finds the solution to his problems in grabbing that. Now just at that moment, picture now, that person is just about to throw those coins. And at that moment another person walks in with a basket. And in that basket is a huge python. Wow. Wow. Now he comes in and he opens the lid of that basket and the python comes out from there. Or a huge cobra comes out from there. Now at that moment, what will people now wait for? Will they wait for that coin or they will dash for the door? Now those 20 people that were there who had different opinions and who were now focused, they wanted to grab that coin which was wrapped in green paper, now they will dash for the exit. Everybody will say, save your life, run for your life. Why? Because it's a poisonous python, cobra. So they forgot about that $1,000,000 now and they dashed for the exit, because they found the protection of their life in dashing for the exit. And even if they gained that $1,000,000, but they will not remain alive to use that $1,000,000. if they gain that $1 million, but they will not remain alive. So they dash for the exit. Now what do we learn from this example? That when that person said, I'm going to throw the coins and the one that is wrapped in the green paper, you will win $1 million. So all attention was focused in that direction. And when the python or the cobra was out from the basket, then all went in that direction. Wow. Somebody wants to come out and three cars are blocking. BVG 736 265837 Mercedes 123176 Corolla. Just remove your cars, please. So now everybody is going to look at that python or that cobra. What we learn from this example is that a person will focus his attention over that in which he sees his greatest benefit. Or the person will take into serious consideration that which will cause him the greatest harm. That's all there is. At present, we all are just having a lot of opinions and views, and we make a lot of input with regards to the solutions of the problems of the world. But because we are not focused on that which is of the greatest benefit to us, or that which is going to cause us the greatest harm, therefore there is no seriousness and there's no commitment in all these views that we express. We talk a lot about Islam. We want to see Islam flourish. We want to see Islam in the homes of every person, in the lives of every person, in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in the businesses, in our walimas and weddings and everywhere. But our minds are not focused. Jannat has not become the greatest need of ours. The greatest desire of ours is not Jannat. And hellfire is not something that causes us serious concern. Our greatest fear is not of azab in Jahannam. These are the two things. Neither do we have a great desire that we want to go to Jannat. And therefore let us all focus our minds on that we want to go to Jannat. Why do we want to go into Jannat? Because that is the place where we will see our Allah. I can't help but again repeat. Unke rukh se naqaba jhutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Unke rukh se naqaba jhutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Ha, in Jannat, that is where those veils of noor which is covering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will remove that. That will be the time when the person will forget every ni'mat of Jannat. He won't remember any ni'mat of Jannat when he will see the didar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because for whom are we making namaz? For whom are we fasting? For whom are we giving zakat? For whom are we making hajj and tawaf and umrahs? For whom are we serving the poor, the needy, the orphans, the destitute? For whom are we expressing compassion and love and mercy? Why are we loving our parents and serving them? Why are we making tasbih and zikr and tilawat? For no other one but Allah. All these things are for Allah. And our Allah we do not see. Now which fool will be that person that he is doing all these things for his Allah and he does not have that intense desire to see his Allah? But in this world we cannot see Allah. Our eyes are being repaired and prepared in this world to see Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. So unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. ایک مدت سے آج اہل غم کو مسکرانے کی مہلت ملے گی. How much of pain they used to take on their hearts, these servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these ahle dil and the ahle wafa and the ahle safa, how much of pain they take upon their hearts so that Allah ta'ala does not become displeased. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is the only place now where we will be able to see him will be in Jannat. So if the entire ummah focuses its attention on that, that Jannat is a need of ours, and a very important need of ours, a very serious need of ours. Now how to get to Jannat, of course, then there will be different things that the person will do to get there. But at least now he makes up his mind that that is my need. At present, the ummah does not even consider Jannat as its need. How many of us we can say that Jannat is really seriously our need, or we really take it that serious? If we say, what are the needs of man? The person will say, he needs food, he needs clothing, he needs shelter, he needs a good car, he needs a good home, he needs a good bank balance. These are our needs. How many of us can sincerely say that we also added to that list that Jannat is our need, a very serious need? And we need Jannat because we are going to get our Allah in Jannat. So if the entire ummah focuses its attention on that, or that hellfire and the azab of Jahannam is something of serious concern, that it is something that we seriously fear, just as everyone dashed for the exit when that python came out or that cobra came out of the basket, in the same way, the moment we hear an ayat of Jahannam, in the moment we hear about the azab of Jahannam, then we dash out of that place which is haram. Just as the person in the love of Jannat, in the love of Jannat, just as the people were now waiting that that coin which is wrapped in that green shining paper, so all of us will grab that. So in the same way, the ummah at large, if they say that we will grab everything that will take us to Jannat, everything that will take us to Jannat, we will grab it. Whether it is zikr, whether it is tilawat, whether it is ibadat, whether it is service to the parents, or whether it is honesty and truthfulness in one's business, or whether it is compassion and kindness and mercy and sympathy for one's wife and children, or for the poor and the needy and the destitute, or whether it is tilawat of the Quran Sharif, or whether it is the tawaf and umrah, whatever ibadat it is, or whatever it is that will take us to Jannat, then we will go for it, we will grab it, we've got our eyes on it, we want to see from where can we catch it and grip it. Like how if he was going to throw it, then before it even fell on the ground, people will dash for it. And in the same way, just as everybody, the moment that other person walked in and opened that basket and that python came out and they dashed for the exit, so when Jahannam will become our serious concern, then we will dash for the exit. We will not wait in that cinema queue. We will not wait in that queue to purchase the tickets, after which we are going to be listening to those haram songs, or watching the haram dance, or listening to haram music. We will not wait in that casino to buy the chips. We will not wait in the escort agency quarters to take a prostitute home. We will dash for the exit from such kinds of places, because our serious concern will be that this will lead me to the azab of Jahannam. Just as I was seriously concerned that python or that cobra, if it had to attack, then that will be the end of my life. So this is something that we have to develop, and it doesn't come through speeches. I can give the best speech on this, but it is possible that it could be just a speech and it's not the condition of my heart. And this is our problem, and this is what I'm crying about in every majlis. That it is time that we make it the condition of our hearts. How long are we going to keep it on our lips? How long are we going to just treat deen as something that should be on our lips and our tongues? Deen was something that was supposed to be in our hearts. If it came into our hearts, then our bodies will also take effect from that which is in the heart. The fear of that snake first came in the heart. Then the person dashed for the exit. If it didn't come into the heart, that fear, he would not have dashed. And the love of those coins first came into the heart. If it didn't come into the heart, he would not have been waiting to grab. So it shows that if the heart has been affected, then you will find the signs in the person's life that this person's heart has been affected by the Quran and by the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and by the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The person's life will indicate and show that this person has been affected. It will not be just our outward. I repeatedly say the outward is extremely important and necessary. Those who say the outward is not important, what is the difference? It doesn't make any difference if the person is clean shaven and is wearing the attire of the film actors and act. There's nothing wrong. Or he's got all those labels which identify him as a baboon fan. Then it doesn't matter. So we say to such people, then what is the difference? Tomorrow wear a sari and go and sit down in your office. Sit down on the cash as a cashier there, and if somebody walks in and say that you're wearing the woman's saris, then what difference it makes? Nothing. There's no such thing as tashabbu. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota. To phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. If the person's face was going to look ugly with a beard, then daadi would not have been the sunnat of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, Hazrat Khaja Sahab, that beautiful couplet. It's very, very beautiful. In which Hazrat Khaja Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, says that on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has to ask, that what have you brought? So I will say that I have brought the outward features of your Rasul Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. At least we can say, oh Allah, I have brought the surat and come. I've just brought my outward appearance and I've come. I tried to bring something. So the outward is also important. It is essential. It is necessary. And the people always look that the outward also must be good when they go for marriage. If somebody has to say that this woman, her heart is excellent condition, her liver and lungs are in excellent condition, but just that her face is very, very ugly, so will the person accept that woman? It's only the face. It's got a lot of sores and pimples and pus and matter is coming out from there. It's very ugly. But the heart, liver and lungs in excellent condition. Then see which person is ready to go and get married to her. So why is he looking at the outward also? So the zahir and the batin must go together. The effect of the zahir will come onto the batin. And the effect of the batin will come onto the zahir. Both will go together. If the person is dressing in the manner that the enemies of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are dressing, then the effect of that will come onto his heart. He cannot distance himself from it. It will come. If you sit near the heater, you must feel heat. If you sit in a room where there's an air conditioner and it's cooling the room, then you will feel the coolness. So the person who is dressing like those film actors, is making his hairstyles like that, and his jeans and everything is just like that, then it shows that this person has been influenced by that culture, and it will have an effect on his heart. And the person who will try to dress like those who are the Ahlullah, the Salihin, or those who are the true believers, then slowly but surely that will begin to have effect on his heart. So the zahir is also essential, and the batin too is essential. If the person has got the dressing of the salihin, he's got the dressing of the pious and the righteous, but in his batin he's got malice, he's got greed, he's got pride, it's filled with evil passions and desires, with enmity and hatred and greed, then that kind of batin, it will not receive the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some time back I gave an example which has just come to mind again now, and that example is very, very appropriate, and it fits in now with whatever I'm saying. That if a person has to say that this is a shop, and there's a big board there, that what we stock in this shop, we stock cakes, biscuits, chocolates, sweets, fruits, and all kinds of delicacies we have in this shop. So the person who is walking into that shop and into that premises and into that business house, then this is what he expects inside that shop. He expects that there must be sweets there, there must be chocolates there, and there must be biscuits there, and there must be all the other things that they have advertised on that notice board. But now when this person walks in there, when he walks in, then instead of all those things, he finds that they are selling fertilizer and manure, and they're selling, and then there's a lot of filthy things inside there, this feces of dogs, of cats, of animals. It has got so much of stench in there. Then what will this person say? That what you have advertised here, and when I walked in here, it's something totally different. It makes me dash out of your business. You should change that board there, because you are deceiving. You must change that board. So in the same way, when a person meets a Muslim, when he trades with a Muslim, when this person is marrying, this person is trading, he is dealing with the person in any aspect of life, in any department of life, then because this person is claiming that he is a Muslim, so he expects this person to treat and deal as a Muslim. He wants to see that honesty of a Muslim. He wants to see that truthfulness of a Muslim. He wants to see that sincerity of a Muslim. He wants to see the akhlaq of the Muslim. And if that Muslim has got the garb of the pious, and if he's got a beard also, and he's got a turban too, and if he's got a tasbih in the hand, or he's wearing all white like I am wearing now, so then the person expects even more from this person. Even the non-Muslim now, when he sees this person, he says that this is a Muslim. So therefore the Muslim is not going to cheat. Because the person is a Muslim, so now he's not going to cheat. He's not going to speak lies. He's not going to conceal the defect, if there is any, in that article that he's selling. And even if I have to close my eyes on this deal and don't even read the fine print, wow, the person is not going to deceive me. Why? Because he's a Muslim, and his outward garb is also showing that he's a very good Muslim. So the person expects all those things. But now when the person comes into contact with this Muslim, and he finds that this Muslim is a first class liar, he's a first class fraud and cheat, and this Muslim is a person who is indulging in backdoor stuffs and goods, or this person, this woman marries this person thinking that he's a good Muslim, but then finds out that this was just an outward performance. In his life there's nothing but drugs, and there's drink also, and there's casinos also, and there's also prostitutes, there's zina and adultery and fornication. So that will be exactly like that person walked into that shop and saw that signboard there advertising so many different delicacies, but inside when he went there he found absolute rubbish in there. So brothers, we must not fool ourselves. We are fooling only ourselves if we think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is unaware of what we are doing. Allah ta'ala is aware of every movement of ours. We have to start taking it seriously. Jannat is our need. And to work towards that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has shown us a certain pattern. And Jahannam is something that we have to fear. We have to make it our condition that we fear the azab of Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was masoom and sinless, how many du'as of his in which he is seeking protection from the azab of qabr and from the azab of Jahannam and the azab of akhirat. What was the need for him to seek such protection? The Quran Sharif tells us in so many places about the azab of Jahannam, and in our du'as we include it, that Allah protect us from the azab of Jahannam. But if a person is serious about it, then he will not go for those things which will take him to Jahannam. That is our predicament, that we say that these are the things that lead to Jannat and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and it leads to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and forgiveness. But we don't go for those things. And we say that these are the things that lead to Jahannam, the displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And I have mentioned many times that the displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. Hazrat Mullah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, how many times he has mentioned that too? He says, in our dua, what do we say? Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah. O Allah, I seek your pleasure. And then he says, and also jannat. That means the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is something else. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala before even jannat. Because if he's got the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will give him jannat. And then he says, wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wan nar. And I seek protection, O Allah, in you from your ghazab, from your anger, and then from the azab of Jahannam. That means anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. And especially for a person who is an ashik of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how can he live on the surface of this earth knowing that his Allah Ta'ala is displeased with him? So many letters I get, Mawlana, I cannot sleep, I cannot eat, I cannot drink, I don't know what's happening to me, what do I do? This person promised that he was going to marry me and I have been let down. Or we are interested in marrying but the parents are not interested. Or so many other things that are happening. Now they can't eat, they can't drink, they can't sleep. And they're giving their life for that which is going to perish. And for that face which is one day going to turn to dust. Kamar jukkar misle kamani hui, koi nana hua koi nani hui. Kamar jukke misle kamani hui, the back bent became like a bow. Koi nana hua koi nani hui. Aur balo pe uske ghalib sufedi hui, koi dada hua koi dadi hui. The hair turned white, the person now became dada or dadi. Times, changing times. That beauty is gone. But the point is this, that the person says that I can't sleep, I can't eat, I cannot drink, I'm depressed, and what is the way out? Why? Because the beloved is displeased. The beloved is displeased. So is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not worthy of making our beloved? Ha, is Allah not worthy of making our beloved? He who is blessing us with so much of ni'mats and bounties, do we consider him even less than this? Again, that woman comes to Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh and she says, my husband wants to take another wife. Is it jais? Is it permissible? He says, yes, it is permissible as long as he does justice. He says, no, but what I want to ask you is that, is it right of him to even look in another direction? For if Allah Ta'ala had permitted me and allowed me, I would have opened my niqab and showed you my face, that what a pretty face I have. Then what is it that is taking my husband to another woman? So the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah just made, ah, and he collapsed. When he regained consciousness, then they asked him, oh Junaid, what happened? And that woman ran away too. She thought she was the cause of his death or something. What happened? What did I say so serious that he died? But when he gained consciousness, he said that when this woman said that if I could show you my face, then you could have seen that there was no need for my husband to go for another woman when Allah has blessed him with such a pretty wife. So at that time I thought of my Allah, that Allah of mine who is so beautiful and who is so kind and who is so merciful and who is so forgiving and who is showering his bounties upon me day and night, then is it right for me to look in another direction and displease my Allah? So this, my brothers, is the purpose of this majlises, nothing else. Alhamdulillah, the effects Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must accept. On Saturday night also I read out some letters without mentioning any name, and nobody knows whose it was, how from drugs and raves and from clubbing and all those kind of things, the person says now he's found sukoon and peace and happiness. Because this clubs is from kalb. Kalb means dog. So kalb and club are very close. And club is actually, the person must take a club and club the person in such a way that he dashes for the exit from that club. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is our beloved. And when he will become happy, then he will make us happy. This is the solution to the problem. At present we want to make ourselves happy and we want everybody else to become happy, but we are displeasing our Allah. Now when Allah will become displeased, then how is he going to make us happy? Then in every family something or the other will be a source of major problem for them. Some child along the line, or some wife along the line, or some thing else or the other, and which will make the person's life restless, full of anxieties, worries. So we have to keep on x-raying ourselves, and it is easy to know whether our Allah is pleased with us or not pleased with us. If the person, before he does anything, he immediately thinks whether this is pleasing to Allah or not, then that is the sign that Allah himself is pleased with him. Because he wants to please Allah Ta'ala, so that's a sign that Allah Ta'ala is also pleased with him. That is why he is questioning that will my Allah be pleased with this action of mine or not. In the time of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, gave him over to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said that take this person and teach him Surah Zilzal. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala taught him Surah Zilzal for a few days, and then the person went away. Then after some time he asked, where is this person? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I don't see him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, I too don't see him. So when they searched, they found that he was taking a bundle of wood and he was going to sell in the marketplace somewhere. So they said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is thinking of you. He said, but I thought that my ta'lim had been completed. He said, how can it be completed? You just accepted Islam in 2-3 days time. How can it be completed? He said, no, but when we came to the ayat, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهْ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهْ, that if an atom of good also you will do, you will see it. And an atom of bad and evil, if you are going to do, you are going to see it on the day of Qiyamah. So when we came to that, then since then my condition is this, that anything that I do, I see the two roots. And I question myself, where will this action of mine take me? If this action of mine is going to take me to Jannat, then I go ahead. And if it is going to take me to Jahannam, then I stop. So that is my condition. Now look at their condition. Just by listening to one ayat, that is the condition now of their hearts. And we listen to it over and over and nothing happens to us. So it is not just a matter of coming and going and sitting and listening and thinking that we have done duty, our duty. It's not like a timetable kind of thing. How the students and children go to the madrasas and schools and say, are you present? Say, yeah, I'm present. Or, gee, I'm present. Or, now I'm present. Finish. Here it's a question of getting on to amal. Every majlis must make us give up one evil in our life. Every majlis must bring us on to one good deed in our life. It must, then gradually you will find that everything is eradicated. And then that heart will be bubbling and throbbing with the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There will be such noor inside that heart that the person will get sukoon. And others will also get sukoon in his company after that. Our Hazrat used to make one of the brothers read that Shaho ke Sarofar. So most of the people learnt it because it was repeated in most of the majlises. But indeed that is what then becomes the condition of the hearts. Shaho ke Sarofar taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. शाहों के सरों पर ताज गिरा से दर्द सा अक्सर रहता है और अहले वफा के सीनों में एक नूर का दरिया बहता है. When ask all those kings who've got the crowns on their heads, what is the condition of their lives? How much of peace have they found? How much of tranquility and serenity and comfort? Don't look at the outside condition, the palace and the thrones and the crowns. Don't look at that. Go and live with them and then see what is their condition. They are afraid all the time. They are in fear that we must not be toppled. We must not be attacked by some outside force. Our crowns and our jewels must not leave us. Angel of death must not visit us. Which king is really hoping to leave this world and meet his Allah? Everyone wants that. Death must not come anywhere near me. Does anyone really consider it as a bridge over which you cross to meet your Allah? Al-maut jasrun yusilu al-habiba ila al-habib. So do they really consider Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as habib? So those crowns are giving them headaches. And the ahle wafa, in their hearts, there's an ocean of noor that is flowing. Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh used to address the Mughal kings and tell them, "Oh, you kings, when you are going to go to the graves, you will leave behind all your thrones and crowns and everything. But Waliullah has got the diamonds of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his heart, which he is going to take with him. Nobody can snatch away those diamonds. Which force can snatch away those diamonds of Allah Ta'ala's love? And believe me that Allah Ta'ala will then not even deprive that person of the worldly ni'mats. He gives them so much that they don't know what to do with it after that. Allah Ta'ala puts muhabbat into the hearts. When we are going to get the muhabbat of Allah in our hearts, Allah Ta'ala will put our muhabbat into people's hearts. And when we are going to displease our Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will put displeasure into other hearts. And that is what is leading to that friction and that fight and those quarrels and those arguments and those disputes in our lives, in our families and in the society. Because all of us have made up our minds that we want to displease our Allah at any cost. That is our life. Knowing fully well that Allah will be displeased with these actions, but we will go ahead with it daily. There will be repetition. We will be persistent. It's not a question of accidental sin. So when we are persistent, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also makes the lives miserable. With all the wealth and with all the earning and with all the property and with the best of children and everything, but that restlessness will not leave that person. And then sometimes what happens is that the person then becomes even more despondent, because he believes that he is a good Muslim and Allah Ta'ala's help and madad and rahmat and everything should be with him. So now why is it that I am trying to do something but nothing is happening? So he distanced himself even more from Allah Ta'ala. And yet what he was doing was just a little bit of some namaz or a little bit of zikr, but he didn't check all the other areas of his life. Where am I going wrong? Sometimes it is the interest taking and giving which brings about all that quarrel. Sometimes it is the watching of the filth on the television screen or reading of those filthy novels and magazines which is bringing those quarrels. Sometimes it is something and sometimes it's something other than that. Different things bring different problems. So there is only one way out, and that is Ruju' ila Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his hadiths. Look at his own life. Look at the lives of his companions. They were mujahids by day. They were on horsebacks. They had sword in their hands. They were making jihad in the battlefield. They were inviting towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. With all that purity of heart that they had, they still at night went on the musalla and they cried before Allah. They shed tears of repentance and they expressed remorse and regret that they were unable to do justice to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Fursanum bin Nahar wa Ruhbanum bin Layl. So take out a little bit of time for khalwat. We need a little bit of time for khalwat, where we have nobody else but ourselves and Allah Ta'ala. In these majlises, in these programs, we have many people. We can, if we reach that stage, be with Allah Ta'ala in all conditions. Even in a big crowd, you can be alone with Allah Ta'ala. Duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. In all the activities of life also they remained with Allah Ta'ala. They were in the businesses, they were getting married, they were upbringing the children, they were joking, they were laughing, they were discussing things of mutual concern, they were in gatherings, but still with all that they remained ba-khuda, they remained with Allah Ta'ala. Their hearts were always with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But because we haven't reached that stage, so we should take out a little bit of time for khalwat. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Before he got the nubuwat, he used to go into the cave of Hira. Those who have been to Makkah Mukarrama, they must go and visit Jabal al-Nur. So what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to do there? Imagine walking from Makkah Mukarrama right out, and those days there was no real built-up area there, and going right up that mountain, and in the darkness of the night to sit there in that cave. We just wonder Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam what strength Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given to him. So what he used to do in that cave? So that khalwat, that seclusion, is also an important part of a Muslim's life. Hubbiba ilayya al-khala. The hadith says that it was made mahboob to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, beloved to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, khalwat. Now these days, as far as khalwat is concerned, it's not even in our dictionary. Because if we have a little bit of khalwat, then it's the newspapers, it's the magazines, it's the radio, it's the television, it's this, it's that, and then we go off to sleep. We don't even find 15 minutes khalwat ma'allah, where we begin to do some meditation of where we have come from and in which direction we are going and in which direction is our life going and how many more years do I have to live in this world before the angel of death takes me away. So if we make a little bit of that meditation and we picture death, muraqabah of maut, then inshallah ta'ala, very easily we will come onto the right track. And then our life won't become miserable, it won't become boring, it won't become a life that is full of restlessness and uneasiness. Allah ta'ala will give us a very beautiful life. It won't affect our businesses, it won't affect our fortunes, it won't affect anything. In fact, then Allah ta'ala will put barakat into those fortunes, Allah ta'ala will give us happiness in those earnings and in our homes and with our families. And there will be such kind of unity that the angels also haven't heard of it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us His muhabbat. May Allah ta'ala increase His muhabbat. May Allah ta'ala give us such a bond with Him and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from them for a single moment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. O Allah, put right our zahir and put right our batin. Ya Allah, bless us with mukammal and complete islah. Ya Allah, bless us with hearts which have become purified. Ya Allah, purify our hearts and cleanse them of malice, of pride, of greed, of envy, of jealousy. O Allah, clean and purify our hearts of evil passions and desires. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Fill our hearts with the noor of zikr and tilawat. Fill our hearts with the noor of ibadat. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems that the ummah is facing all over the world, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, India, Pakistan. Ay mere Allah, throughout the world the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering. Ya Allah, restore that dignity that you gave to the Muslim ummah. Ya Allah, we know the day we make sincere tawbah from our sins and we dedicate our lives for your cause, then automatically we will get that dignity and that honor again. Ya Allah, remove all the hardships and the problems. Unite the Muslim ummah. Assist the Muslim ummah. Assist the mujahideen. Ya Allah, tu malaika ke zariye se unki madad aur nusrat farma. Ya Allah, kuffar aur mushrikeen aur yahood aur nasara ko tu hidayat de. Aur agar hidayat unke muqaddar mein nahi hai to unko aad aur samud ke tareeke se halak aur barbaad farma. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Ya Allah, bless us with the death of barakat. Ya Allah, bless us with the mouth of barakat. Ya Allah, don't let our death come in a haram action. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater. Don't let the angel of death find us in adultery or fornication or popping drugs in our mouths. Don't let the angel of death find us in fraud or in cheating or deceiving. Ay Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ek din tujhe apna muh dikhana hai, mere Allah. Tere samne khade hokar jawab dena hai. Ay mere pyare Allah, tu hum sab ki maghfirat kar de. Jo intiqal kar gaye unki maghfirat farma. Those brothers and sisters, parents, children, whoever have passed away, Ya Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.